I want to again ask for your prayers today. And if you would like to read with me, I would ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. And I want to begin reading with the first verse and probably read this whole chapter this morning for a scripture reading. So 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And before I read, I want to make just a few statements to preface the message today. I always enjoy singing the songs like we just sung, and I'm still thankful to be living here in this country. But I wonder, and I really don't think that perhaps these questions maybe even need to be asked from things that I have heard, testimonies, things, statements I've heard other people make. But I think that we sense the winds of change here in our nation. I think we can feel and we can see some things that are rapidly changing here. And almost a sense of we're beginning to live in a much different type of country than what we have perhaps in the near past. And I want to perhaps speak about some of those things today. So 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. That is reading the entire 8th chapter of 1 Samuel for a scripture reading here this morning. I want to use this title for the thoughts that are upon my heart today, that being a nation's worst mistake. That's what I want you to think about with me today, the worst mistake that a nation could ever possibly make. There are some things that I want to point out in these verses and then move on to some other things. But first, I want us to remember that Israel was, in fact, a nation. Numbers-wise, population-wise, it certainly wasn't the largest nation probably that's ever been on the earth, but they were, in fact, a nation of people. In fact, they were a nation that God chose. And God did many works that we read about in Old Testament times among the nation or the children of Israel. So they were indeed a nation. I don't know a great deal about government. I'll confess that for you today in honesty. When I tried to study about it in school, there were a lot of things that about government that confused me. There's a lot of things about it today that still confuse me. But I do know this, and you can agree with this or you can disagree with it today, but I do know that the greatest form of government that there has ever been is theocracy. I don't see how you could ever have a better form of government than theocracy. Because in theocracy, the people allow God to rule. And when we are directly under the rule of God, you can't go wrong. I mean, nobody will ever lead you and guide you in the right direction the way that God will. And Israel was doing fine with their theocratic form of government, but they reached a point here where that didn't suit them anymore. Now, I think that we are all familiar today with a democratic form of government. I think if we mention the word, in fact, American people today may be more familiar with the term democracy than they are theocracy. But I think we all understand a democratic form of government, but I have this thought too concerning government that even in a democracy, that theocracy ought to prevail. And I hope to be able to explain what I'm saying as we look at the message today. But I do know this, as God's people today, you see today the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are spiritual Israel. And we certainly ought to listen to God above listening to anybody else. We ought to, when we are considering things, we ought to consider what God thinks about this more than what anybody else thinks about it, even more than what we might think about it ourselves. And when we are taking care of the things that God has left us to take care of, when we are dealing with the things that have to do with the Lord's work and the Lord's church, we certainly ought to consider what God thinks about something more than what anybody else thinks about it. You know, people get in trouble. I mean, there is always trouble just over the horizon when people begin to just look towards the things that they want, the things that they desire. People get in trouble in every aspect that we do that. We get in trouble. But when we look to God and we think about how that King David viewed this, and you read so many times in the Psalms how that it was obvious to me that David desired the great leadership of God in his life. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the one that leads me. The Lord is the one that shows me what I need to do. In Psalm 27, he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And so when we follow after God and we desire the leadership of God, God will certainly take us in the direction that we need to be going. But we won't get there by ourselves. I promise you we won't. We won't get there by ourselves. And when we begin to go after what is good for us and what we desire, we're going to end up in trouble, because when we begin to look after the things that we desire, you know where the direction we're going to go in? It's going to be away from God. And that's what happened to Israel here. You know what their problem was? They weren't satisfied with God. They were not satisfied just to be the people that God had made them to be. They wanted something different. They wanted to be like everybody else. And friends, listen, I'll tell you this today. When the children of God, and you can mark this down, this will work in your individual life and it will work as a church. When the children of God don't want to be different, when they want to look like and be like everybody else, you can bet that there's problems just over the horizon. You're going to find yourself mixed up in things that you shouldn't be mixed up in if you want to be like everybody else. We need to be willing to be different. We need to be willing to be the peculiar people that God would have us to be. Well, this theocracy, this theocratic type of government, didn't suit Israel anymore. Samuel had gotten old. Samuel was a good man. I mean, he was a faithful man of God. His sons didn't heed what he had taught them. And I do believe this. I do believe that Samuel taught those boys what was right. And when we read this, we understand that there is this great individuality between us and God. Friend, today, listen, you are an individual before God, and God will hold you accountable for how you deal with Him. We have examples in the Bible of children that had great teachings, and yet they themselves did not heed to it and did not adhere to it. And then we have men like Josiah that really, when you study Josiah's ancestry and his family, he really didn't have very many good examples, but the Bible says that Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. We are individuals, and the final choice is up to us, isn't it? It really is. Israel chose this. Samuel's sons didn't walk in his ways, and so they came to Samuel and they said, "Listen, Samuel, you're old. You're not going to be around much longer. Your sons are not living the way that you live. Why don't you give us a king so we can be like everybody else?" Well, you know what? You better be careful what you ask for. Because God may just grant it. We need to understand that when we really desire something in our heart, when God made man, God didn't create a sinner. He did not create a sinner. He created a being that was holy and that was just and that was upright. You read the seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes in verse 29, and you'll find out that that's exactly what Solomon said about the creation of man. He said, "Lo, this only have I found, that God has made man upright." And that's exactly how he made him. He didn't create a sinner. He created a holy man. He created a man without fault. There wasn't anything wrong with anything that God made. Everything he made was perfect. And everything he made was good. But you know what? Man chose his own plight. He chose to sin against God. He chose to disobey God. And he got in big trouble for it, didn't he? You tell me today, in this nation that we live in, and this is a burden in my soul today, and it ought to be a burden in the souls of every child of God today. But you tell me today, in this country that we live in, how much fear of God is really left among us? Why, people will do whatever they think they want to do, won't they? They don't care what God's word says. They don't care what the scriptures say about it. They don't care what the old time Baptist churches are preaching and saying about this. If it makes their flesh feel good and satisfies the body, they'll do it. They don't care what anybody thinks about it. They don't even care what God in heaven thinks about it. They'll just do it. We live in a wicked nation, people. We really do. Well, we'll get into that here in a moment, perhaps. They desired a king. And you know, we read in this, and what we find in this was that the worst thing wasn't the desiring of a king, even, was it? God, you know, it just tore Samuel all to pieces. I mean, it just really got next to his heart. And he took this to the Lord, and he was lamenting over this. God, these people want a king. And God said, "Well, Samuel, if that's what they want, give it to them. Give it to them. If that's what the people have chosen, give it to them." I'm telling you something, folks. We better be careful what we choose, hadn't we? We better be careful what we choose. We better be careful that the things that we choose are the things that would please God, not please us, not make us happy. There's still many times in many ways, there's too much I in the church, I this and I that. God owns this church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we better concern ourselves with what makes him happy rather than what makes us happy. And what we think is right, we better find out what God tells us is right in every situation, or we're going to be in trouble. And so God said, "Well, Samuel, you know, here's the thing. It's not you that they rejected." You know, I realize that when I stand up here and preach, or when any other of the brothers stands up here and preach, or when our Sunday school teachers, you know, teach the truth, we realize this. You know, that when we preach a sermon, sometimes it seems that people just don't take heed. Sometimes it seems that people just don't adhere to the things that are said from the Word of God, and we just don't take the Word of God and we apply it to our lives. But listen, if you take those things that the man of God preaches and you just wad them up and you throw them over your shoulder and you don't do a thing with them, I want you to know something today, that you have done more than just reject flesh and blood. You've done more than reject the preacher or the pastor. You've rejected God and His Word. Amen. That's what they had done. They had rejected God and His Word. It's not my word, folks. I don't preach my word. If I preach my word, I'd be done here in about 5 minutes, and we'd go home. We wouldn't be any better off than what we were when we came if I preach my word to you. Well, God gave them what they wanted. He gave them what they asked for, gave them what they had chosen. He told Samuel, he said, "You give it to him, but you go and tell him. you go and tell them that they better get ready to live a whole different way of life. They better get ready to see the changes that are going to take place because of their evil desires. And, you know, listen, a nation can refuse the things of God. A nation can reject the things of God and the things of God and God himself. As far as I'm concerned, if you have a different view of this, I hope that you're right. But as far as I'm concerned, from what I hear and what I see, it seems that in this great United States of America, that the things of God are rejected more and more and more all the time. You let somebody preach the truth, or you let somebody take a stand on the truth, you let somebody take a stand on what the Bible says, the truth of God's word about men marrying men and women marrying women and abortion and all of these great immoral things that are happening in our world today. You let somebody take a stand for the truth of God's word, and you'll have people, folks, it's just a fact. These things have come to surface. They're public. We know they're happening. You let somebody take a stand for the truth like that, and you know what somebody will say? Somebody in a prominent position in this country, they'll rise up and say, you know what you need to do? You need to lay down that old archaic word. You need to get rid of that old those old writings of the Bible, and you need to look into what the First Amendment rights say. Pitiful, isn't it? I promise you this, I already confessed to you that I don't know a whole lot about government, but I do know this, that our First Amendment rights were never about people defiling the things of God. They were never about that. You know what the devil did back in Eden? You know, in his deception, you know what he did? He came to Eve there, and with the commandment that they had been given, he took that commandment, and in his ways of guile, he turned it around to where they believed it backwards. They believed something opposite of what had really been said. You know, he didn't deny it. He came and he said, did God tell you that if you ate of the fruit of the tree that you would die? And it was acknowledged, yes, that's what he told us. But you see, the devil told them, well, that's not what will happen. There will be a change, but that's not what will happen. God knows that he doesn't want you to eat that because he knows in the day that you eat it, that you're going to be as gods and your eyes are going to be open and you're going to know good and evil. But folks, listen, the truth was that if they ate that, they were going to die. That was the truth. The devil turned it around. And you know what? The devil has deceived people in our nation. I mean, people in prominent positions today, they are so deceived that they have got a backwards view of our First Amendment rights. They've got a backward view of the separation of church and state. They've got the whole thing turned around. The separation of church and state, go study your history, everybody ought to anyway, and you'll find out that the separation of church and state was never about taking away anybody's ecumenical rights. Religious rights would be perhaps a better word. It was never about that. It was so we could have them. It was never about children not being able to pray at school. It was not about not being able to open a session of Congress with prayer. That was never what the separation of church and state was about. It was so that we could all worship according to the dictates of our heart. Amen. Without anybody telling us that we couldn't. That's what it was about. That's what our Baptist forefathers bled for. That we and others could have that right. our First Amendment rights are not about, they were never about, folks, I promise you today, our First Amendment rights were never about people living vile lives and calling it alternative lifestyle. That's not what it was about. It never was. But, you know, it's a sad day. It's a sad day when people in a nation that is supposed to be a Christian nation, when somebody stands up and says, you know what, this vile, sexual way of living of men with men and women with women is wrong. It's just wrong, and the Bible condemns it. And somebody rises up and says, you know what? You need to lay that old Bible down and look at people's First Amendment rights. That's pitiful. I mean, you think people aren't deceived? You bet they are. You think the devil isn't at work? You bet he is. You bet he is. Backwards. Things are backwards in the minds of people. Well, I know this, no nation ever benefits by turning away from the things of God. You read the history of Israel from this point on, and you'll find out that they never benefited from rejecting God. They had problems. They had a few good kings along the way. They really did. David was a good king. He made some mistakes, but all in all, he was a good king. They had a few good kings along the way. Hezekiah was a decent king. Josiah was a good king. They had a few good kings, but you look, for the most part, Israel suffered through the office of a king. They suffered through it. Most of the kings they had were ungodly men that did damage to their nation. But you know what? It was them in the first place that desired to have a king over them, and God granted them their choice, and they paid the price. We're going to pay the price when we reject the things of God. Now, you may agree with this or you may disagree with it, but if we don't see some things change soon for the better, if we don't get a hold of God, if God don't give us holy revival in this nation, we're fixing to face some big changes in the way we live. It's already working. You listen to the news, you listen to what's going on in our country, it's already working. And, you know, I believe that the time is nigh at hand when we're going to find out if things continue the way they are. I believe that the time is very near when we're going to find out who's really willing to stand for the truth and who's not. There are things that I've said here today that they're considered hate. In our country today, they're considered hate. The attempts to pass legislation for these hate crimes and these things, you know, the direction we're headed in, we're very swiftly approaching the time when the pastor, those that stand for the truth, they're going to be facing peril if we really stand up for God. Do you believe that? You know, you may or may not. I'm convinced of it. That we are right on the verge of a great change here in our nation. And I pray that God will... I've done a lot of soul searching, folks. Done a lot of praying. I hope I'm ready. I really do. I pray that whatever comes my way, Lord, I want to serve you. I pray that whatever comes my way, that I'll be willing to stand up for God. I know he'll give me the grace. I know that our Baptist ancestors, I know the things that they went through. They didn't go through those things. They didn't face those things and endure those things because they were better people than us, or because they were stronger people than us. They just relied on God for His grace. They did. But I think in those times, you see the counterfeits crumble, and you see the true people of God shine when we have to face. I'll tell you what, I found this out a few years ago. I imagine some of my other preacher brothers here have had similar experiences. But I learned several years back that, you know, it's one thing when you stand in the pulpit and you preach a sermon, and everybody that's there in the congregation, they shake their heads and they agree with what you're saying, and they maybe give you an amen or two, and then the service is over and there's no conflict and you dismiss. That's one thing. But when you preach a sermon that somebody that don't believe it is there, and before you get two steps out of the pulpit, they're right in your face, suddenly things are a little bit different. They're a little bit different. And our forefathers have endured those things. They endured many trials. And I thank God that they did, because the truth is still with us today. And folks, listen, if it comes down to us having to face things again, if we have to face those conflicts in order to endure and keep the gospel going, I pray to God that we'll be ready. Because I look out at our little kids here today, our precious little children that are here today, and I pray for them, and I believe they're going to be facing some things. If there's not a great change for the better that's made, I think they're going to be facing some things that maybe you haven't had to. And as long as the world goes on, we need strong churches. And we need people. And in order to have strong churches, I believe we're going to need people that are going to love God enough to be willing to endure the things that seem to be right on the horizon. I want to give you just a couple of verses of Scripture before I close. I can't ever study this without thinking about these verses. Proverbs 14 and 34 says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Do you really think these horrid things that we hear about every day in our nation, do you really think that God's just turning His back and just looking away? I guarantee you He's not. Sin is a reproach to any people. In Psalm 33 and 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have enjoyed. I'm thankful for the freedoms that we still enjoy. I've never read anywhere in any holy writ, in our Constitution, in our Bill of Rights, I've never read in any documentation anywhere where the guarantee was ever made that we would always have these freedoms. Never read that anywhere. We may or we may not. As far as I'm concerned, if things keep going the way they are, we won't have them much longer. One by one, they're going to begin to disappear. I'm not trying to just be, I'm not trying to just preach supposition to you today. I believe these things are just ahead of us. And we need to pray that God will help us. We need to maintain the things of God, regardless of what we have to face in order to do it. We need to be willing to maintain the things of God and continue that however long time goes on, that people will have the truth, that they'll have good churches to come to. And so, you know, this is my burden. It's my burden. It's been on my mind for a good while, and I ask you to help me pray. But the worst error that a nation can ever make is turning away from God. Turning away from God's word. What we read about there in the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel, of all the things they did, I believe that was the worst thing that Israel ever did, was they turned away from God and they rejected him. And you know what ended up happening? You read their history. They, you know, when people turn away from God, that's not where it ends. People don't just turn away from God. Every time somebody turns away from God, they turn to something else. And that's what Israel did. They turned away from God. What did he say there in the book of Jeremiah? My people have committed two evils. Two evils. First, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And the second one was that they had hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. What did they do? They turned away from the true and living God, and they turned to idols. They turned to false gods. And I think we can see so many ways today that people have turned their back on God. And when they did, they turned their lives towards sin, towards the pleasures of the flesh. And it's just, well, it astounds me the things that people do. It really does. Things that we're surrounded with, things that we're exposed to here in this country. That I think if for the older generation that's with us today, I think things that not many years ago you would have probably told us, I doubt that that'll ever happen. But many of those things have happened, haven't they? They sure have. So, amen.